to personally welcome people who might be new to our parish. I'm really glad that you are here. And if you are new, please introduce yourself to me after the Mass. We do have a little welcome bag that we want to give to all new people. Or if you prefer, you could just fill out this little welcome brochure in your pews and throw it into the collection basket, and then I'll be in touch with you at a later date. Now, as you know, Deacon Charles and I have been preaching in preparation for our Lenten mission, which is in 2 weeks, and the theme is the light of Christ and becoming a beacon of hope. And so last week I spoke on the idea that God not only wants us to live in the light of Christ, but to share that light with others and to be very generous in sharing that our faith with others. Just as God is generous because he makes the sun rise on the good and the bad and his rain fall on the righteous and the unrighteous. So he calls us to be generous in sharing his light that we have received with the other people in our lives. And one easy way to do that is to invite someone that you know to come with you to the parish Lenten mission in 2 weeks. And so that was my homily last week, and today I want to take a little bit of a different track. But I need to warn you, it's a really weird homily. I've never shared this stuff publicly before in 30 years, except yesterday and today for the first time. It's weird, but it also applies to the gospel today, so I think it's worth sharing. And so what I'd like to talk about and remind us today and actually warn us is that just as God calls us to share his light with other people, there's someone else who desperately wants to always put that light out. And I first ran into that someone else who wants to put out the light of Christ many years ago, after my conversion at university. As you know, I did not grow up as a Catholic, and when I was at university, I embraced the Catholic faith and had a real conversion through the influence and help of friends. And the conversion happened one evening when I was speaking to a friend of mine just about the big questions in life and about God and his place in our lives, and she just said something, and it was sort of insignificant to her, but it was at that moment that God gave his grace, and it was though a light went on inside of me that had never been on before. And I just knew that what she was saying was true, that God was real, that he loved me, and that the Bible is true, and that everything Jesus says about himself is true. I just knew that in a really profound way. And accompanying that light was also a tremendous feeling of joy, and a feeling of awe and warmth and a sense of belonging and being home. And these feelings and this joy lasted for weeks, for maybe even a couple of months. But then one night, after a few months, something totally unexpected happened. Something I never dreamed of, never heard of, didn't even know it was possible. I was at the time living in university residence on campus at Dalhousie University. And I was asleep, and it was maybe 3 or so, 3:30 in the morning. And for some reason, I was starting to wake up. You know, when you get kind of half awake and half asleep, you're awake, you know you're awake, but you're still sort of sleeping. And suddenly, I just became aware of a huge number of people outside of my bedroom living room, outside of the window of my bedroom. And dozens, maybe hundreds, I don't know. I didn't know who they were, but I just knew somehow they came from a really, really far, far, from far, far away. And then I just sort of woke up a little bit more. I thought, wait a minute, that's kind of weird because I'm living on the second floor. There's nothing outside my bedroom window except empty space. And right at that moment, it was whoosh. It was like they all just came flying through the window, through the walls, into my room. And I don't know how to describe it, but they just sort of grabbed me on the inside. It just sort of, I felt enveloped. And at the same time, I could not speak, I could not move, and there was a sheer terror and horror that was within me. I didn't know it existed. And the word Satan just started going through my mind. Satan, Satan, Satan. And, you know, as a kid, I remember being chased by an angry dog snapping at my legs as I'm riding my bicycle down the road as fast as I can, and he was really, really close. I remember being in physical fights with other youths who would pick on me sometimes when I was growing up. I remember when I was little and came home from kindergarten and my parents weren't home, I thought they abandoned me. And I was really sad. And I walked blocks to my babysitter, who assured me that they didn't abandon me. nightmares when sleeping. Even in a rectory in Hamilton, the rectory was broken into in the middle of the night, and I confronted the robber when he opened my bedroom door. I worked for a summer in a maximum security prison with murderers and bank robbers and people like that. And so the feelings of fear I sometimes had in my past, that was nothing compared to what I was feeling now. It was just a whole nother level, a quantum leap into a different level of fear, an earthly fear I didn't know existed. And then suddenly, in the middle of all this, another thought came through my mind. It said, say, in the name of Jesus, be gone. In the name of Jesus, be gone. But the problem was I couldn't say it. I couldn't speak. I couldn't move. So I deliberately chose to think it. And I remember it took all my effort just to think. And so I thought each word, in the name of Jesus, be gone. And I had to do it twice. And then, whoosh, it all just left the way they came. By this point, I'm sitting on the edge of my bed, and I'm shaking like a leaf, and I was just terrified. So I had to call a friend, even though it was 3:30 in the morning, to talk this all out. And it happened a number of times, but each time it did, I became more aware of what was going on, and I could sense the presence as soon as it sort of came into the room, and I would immediately say, in the name of Jesus, no, be gone. And it would just stop, and nothing happened. now, that's really weird. So, yes, I believe in the devil. Demons are real. They're spiritual beings. They are fallen angels, and so they have a strength and an intelligence and ability that you and I don't have. And even after becoming a priest, every once in a while, I still run into these sorts of things again. Like the time I was in Oakville, and I was doing the hospital rounds, visiting the sick Catholic patients, and I came upon a patient who told me she was a practicing witch. She belonged to a witch's coven in Toronto, and she'd been involved in seances, black magic, rituals, all kind of things, you know? And for some strange reason, she asked me to bless something. So I took out my holy water and blessed it, and as soon as the water touched her hand, she pulled back and said, ow, that's burning me. Well, then I knew what they mean by they say your hair is standing on the back of your head. I could hardly wait to get out of there. And then I remember being called to a house, spooky houses. We get that as priests. And this one house, I remember the lady told me that the washing machine, dishwasher, dryer would go on and off by itself. Things would disappear from one part of the house and reappear in another part, and nobody would sleep in the baby's room. The baby refused to sleep in that room. Older brothers and sisters refused. Nieces and nephews who would come for a visit, who knew nothing about what was going on, refused to sleep in that room. After the kids would go to school and her husband would go to work, she would tidy things up and she would notice that the dresser drawers in the baby's room, all of them were open. And the toys and the stuffed animals were upside down. So she would turn them right side up, push the drawers closed, go back downstairs, you know, make lunch, do some work, go upstairs to get something later in the afternoon, and notice all the drawers were open again and all the toys and stuffed animals were upside down. and nobody was in the house except her. She said the other day she was closing the drawers and turning all the toys right side up again for the umpteenth time. And as she left the baby's room, something pushed her really hard from behind. And the only reason she didn't go flying down the stairs was because she was able to grab onto the railing with both hands. And there was nobody behind her, nobody in the baby room, nobody was home except her. And she said, that's when she decided to call me. And I remember thinking, oh, why didn't I take holidays this week? But what was really weird was what happened after that. I started blessing each room with the holy water, and as I'm blessing the house, all of a sudden outside it gets really, really dark. Dark clouds come over, the wind picks up, it's blowing, the trees are waving, and it's starting to hail. And I remember getting really creeped out, and so I paused and I said to the lady, I said, this is really weird that this should be happening right now. This is like a Hollywood movie, you know? So she chuckled a little bit, and I double-timed the blessing of the house, and I got out of there. I believe, I'm convinced the devil is real. Today in the first reading, we hear it was the devil who tempted the first parents of the human race and caused the downfall of the human race. The Old Testament prophets encountered and had to fight against his influences. Today in the gospel, Jesus encounters the devil personally three times in the desert and rebukes his temptations. Jesus often cast out demons from those who were possessed, and he always made a distinction between those who were sick and those who were possessed. The apostles cast out demons. And even to this day, every diocese in the world, Catholic diocese, is supposed to have an officially trained exorcist. And the exorcist always works together with the medical profession. And the medical profession, the doctors, the psychiatrists, they always have to check the person first. And only if they say there's no medical explanation for what's going on, only then does the exorcist step in and see if there's a cause for an exorcism. So not to believe in the devil is simply contrary to experience, 2,000-year history of the church, contrary to scripture, and it's a huge mistake. Because the saints, who are sometimes shown heaven, hell, and purgatory, one thing they often said was that they noticed that one thing people in hell, most people had in common, was that while they were alive, they didn't believe in the devil and they didn't believe in hell. And that makes perfect sense, because why would you protect yourself against an enemy if you don't believe he exists? And if you don't believe in the devil or hell, why do you need a savior? And so they were particularly vulnerable to evil. Now, we have nothing to fear, though, because demons can't take one step without God's permission. So as long as we're practicing our faith, coming to Mass every Sunday, receiving Jesus in the Eucharist, rededicating ourselves to Christ, going to confession often and regularly, not allowing mortal sin to take root in our lives, and praying the rosary every day, and staying away from anything to do with the occult or anything to do with New Age, then we have nothing to fear from evil. Because scripture says, he that is in you, that is Jesus, is stronger than he that is in the world, the devil. Now, that may be fine for us who are practicing our faith, but what about the 80% of Catholics who don't practice their faith? What about the vast majority of people who no longer believe in the devil? Pew Research came out with some research just recently saying that only 17% of Christians believe in the devil. That's kind of scary. And what about the vast majority of people in Hanover, our relatives, friends, and co-workers, who live as though God does not exist? we should really be concerned for their salvation. Because if you think of it, if our loved ones did not have a good job, if they did not have affordable housing, if they did not have enough to eat, if they were ill, and you and I could do something about it, we would immediately be concerned and try to help out. And that's good and necessary. But the most important thing of all is for our loved ones and friends to repent of their sins, to be reconciled to God, and to live their lives and die in friendship with Christ. Because if somebody dies in friendship with Christ, their life was an amazing success, no matter how difficult it was. But if someone dies in their sins without being reconciled to Christ, being reconciled to God, then no matter how successful, comfortable, joyful their life on earth was, it's a failure. And it's a failure for all eternity, and they will have to live in a state of unimaginable terror forever. And I'm sure that none of us would want that to happen to our loved ones and friends, or even anybody. Archbishop Fulton Sheen, he put it in a very dramatic way. He was always so dramatic, but he said it this way. He said, there are 1,000 times 10,000 different paths that people can take in life. But when it comes to the end of our path, we will see two persons in front of us. One will be the beautiful, loving presence and the person of Jesus, and the other will be the horrifying presence of the devil, of evil. And both will look at us, and then one of them will say, mine, mine for all eternity, and there will be no more second chances. And so if we truly love people, whether they may be family, friends, co-workers, and neighbors, we should be praying for their salvation. And we should be looking for ways in which we can somehow share the light of Christ with them if they don't have it. And sharing our faith does not require great knowledge. One of the easiest ways is simply invite someone to come to an event where they will hear the basic gospel message. The research shows that two-thirds of Catholics who left the faith and later on in life came back say they did so because somebody invited them. Dr. Ralph Martin, who runs an internationally known renewal and evangelization organization in Detroit and was and may even still be on the seminary faculty in Detroit, he wrote, I read last week, that it was a friend who invited him to a weekend retreat that saved his life and converted him to Christ. So this parish Lenten mission is for everybody in the parish. Even if we are fully practicing and knowledgeable Catholics, it's always good to have a review of the basic gospel message because we can strengthen our faith. But Father Graham will also offer time each evening to pray for people for healing, healing in their hearts, healing in their relationships and their lives. And who does not need more healing? So this mission is for everyone. But please, since the mission is going to focus the teaching part on the basic gospel and inviting people to recommit and commit themselves to Christ, try to invite a few people to come with you who maybe are on the fringes of the faith. If they say no, fine, come anyway. This mission is for you too. And please pray for the success and the fruitfulness of our parish mission. In the pews, in the end of the pews, you'll see this beautiful little novena prayer. It's 9 days of prayer for the success of our mission. It's just one little prayer each day. And it would be a great act of charity that you could do for the parish, and it'd be a nice way for us to deepen our Lenten practices as well. Together, let us profess our faith. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us men and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried and rose again on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and life in the world to come. And so let's turn to our Heavenly Father with our petitions as we seek his protection and blessing on us, our families, and the parish.
For the Church, the body of Christ, that we will work in cooperation with the Holy Spirit in our lives and together bring God's plan of goodness, we pray.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For government leaders and all in a position of authority, that they may be open to the light of Christ, guiding them in their decisions, we pray.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all married couples, that they will be strengthened and in their relationships always growing closer to one another and to God, we pray.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For this Lenten season, that we will humbly acknowledge our faults and work wholeheartedly to correct them, we pray.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For those sick, especially Rick Hunt, Donald Crutch, Marianne Dunn, Brenda Emer, Amelia Trombley, Lucas Reinhardt, and for all the intentions on our prayer network, we pray.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For those who have died and the souls in purgatory, that they may be welcomed into heaven, we pray.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For the eternal happiness of Paul Sarri, for whom we offer this Eucharistic celebration, we pray.
Lord, hear our prayer. And Heavenly Father, we offer you all our petitions, and we offer you our hearts and our lives as well, asking your goodness to hear our prayers and to strengthen the light of Christ in each one of us, as well as the desire to share that with others, and we pray through Christ our Lord. Yes, it's you. What is it? Oh, okay. Pray, brothers and sisters, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father. Give us the right dispositions, O Lord, we pray, to make these offerings, for with them we celebrate the beginning of this venerable and sacred time through Christ our Lord. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere to give you thanks, Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God, through Christ our Lord. By abstaining 40 long days from earthly food, he consecrated through his fast the pattern of our Lenten observance, and by overturning all the snares of the ancient serpent, taught us to cast out the leaven of malice, so that celebrating worthily the Paschal mystery, we might pass over at last to the eternal Paschal feast. And so with the company of angels and saints, we sing the hymn of your praise, as without end we acclaim, holy, O Lord, the fount of all holiness. Make holy, therefore, these gifts, we pray, by sending down your Spirit upon them like the dew fall, so that they may become for us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. At the time he was betrayed, he entered willingly into his passion. He took bread and, giving thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice, and once more giving thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, Take this, all of you, and drink from it, for this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me. The mystery of faith. Therefore, as we celebrate the memorial of his death and resurrection, we offer you, Lord, the bread of life and the chalice of salvation, giving thanks that you have held us worthy to be in your presence and minister to you. Humbly we pray that, partaking of the body and blood of Christ, we may be gathered into one by the Holy Spirit. Remember, Lord, your church spread throughout the world and bring her to the fullness of charity, together with Francis, our Pope, and Douglas, our Bishop, and all the clergy. Remember also our brothers and sisters who have fallen asleep in the hope of the resurrection and all who have died in your mercy. Welcome them into the light of your face. Have mercy on us all, we pray, that with the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, with Blessed Joseph, her spouse, with the Blessed Apostles, and all the saints who have pleased you throughout the ages, we may merit to be co-heirs to eternal life, and may praise and glorify you through your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him, and with him, and in him, O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever. At the Savior's command, informed by divine teaching, we dare to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil. Graciously grant peace in our days, that by the help of your mercy we may be always free from sin and safe from all distress, as we await the blessed hope and coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, Peace I leave you, my peace I give you, look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church, and graciously grant her peace and unity in accordance with your will, who live and reign forever and ever. Amen. And the peace of the Lord be with you always. Let us offer each other the sign of peace. Amen. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb. Jesus be with you. Peace and Jesus be with you. Thank you. Let us pray. Renewed now with heavenly bread, by which faith is nourished and hope is increased and charity strengthened, we pray, O Lord, that we may learn to hunger for Christ, the true and living bread, and to strive to live by every word which proceeds from your mouth, through Christ our Lord. Well, warmly welcome to stay for a time of fellowship and refreshments after the Mass. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Go and announce the gospel of the Lord.